Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the 150th episode of the Feuerstein's Fire Internet Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers at soccernewsday.com. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss whatever you like amongst yourselves. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. Now, let's tackle the issue right now. Don Garber has gotten his way. Don Garber has finally done something where, once again, I have felt it is not the right way to go if you want to fix things when it comes to the so-called ratings in New York City. So what has he done? Not just collaborated with Manchester City of the English Premier League, but unfortunately, getting the New York Yankees of Major League Baseball to be a part of this fraud. And when I say fraud, I mean fraud. Fraudulence of a so-called team that was not collaborated by people who wanted to bring in a team into New York City. I'm talking about the commissioner of a league that, in my opinion, had no right to create a team out of thin air. Creating a team that is not real, that is not true grassroots, that is not, let's be honest, owned by a real ownership group. The Yankees came in for the ride because they felt that they had to do it. But once again, Major League Soccer, Commissioner Don Garber, forcing this secondary New York City team down our throats in the five boroughs, northern New Jersey, southern Connecticut, the whole tri-state New York City area. Now, let's remember here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we know with the whole Chivas USA LA Galaxy situation. Now, I understand why that did not work right off the bat, because Chivas USA threw their brand in there. I understand that. While technically this is going to be called New York City FC, the realization is this: no matter what you call it, no matter how you're going to put a pig in the middle of center field where you're going to kick off, in the Bronx, this will still be Manchester City USA, regardless. You may throw in a shield that's not the Phoenix of Manchester City. Maybe the colors will not be light blue. Maybe Etihad will not be the shirt sponsor on the front. But what is clear is that, regardless, Manchester City is involved. Is that what we want right now? Because, let's be honest, forcing a rivalry down our throats here in New York is not the way to go. See, when the NFL got started, it was just the New York Football Giants. Then the New York Jets came along in the American Football League to rival the NFL before everything merged in the late 60s. And, yes, the Giants were here for the first 45 years in the NFL, and then the Jets came around. The New York Rangers in the National Hockey League, they started back 86, 87 years ago. The New York Islanders came around over 40 years ago, because it took time to make that work. And then the New Jersey Devils coming over 25-plus years ago. See, I had to work to make sure that the market was mature enough to make this happen. But the one thing I question Don Garber is this. The one thing I question Don Garber is simply this. Weren't you supposed to make sure that a stadium plan, stadium designs, were supposed to be a part of these expansion talks? Where are the renderings? I mean, Orlando City showed renderings from the USL Pro League, the New York Cosmos coming back playing in the North American Soccer League. They showed renderings, but the only thing you did was have a rally inside Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Wait a second. The New York Mets play at Citi Field inside Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Yet MLS to Queens was the banner, but now it's in the Bronx. So let's see here. You lied about the stadium. You lied about putting this team in Queens, which you did not. You basically made a fool of some of these fans that are going to be supporting the Cosmos for good now. When you had that rally, when you had them with you on the podium. And now it looks like the park is going to be stadium free. So whatever the Mets will do at Citi Field and whatever the U.S. Tennis Association is going to do in the park, that's fine. So you're saying that Yankee Stadium is a temporary solution? Well, guess what, Commissioner Garber? Yankee Stadium will not be a temporary solution. It will be the solution because guess what? You can throw out any name of any neighborhood in the borough of the Bronx or in the Queens. The city council needs to approve a project that you're hoping to create. I can care less if you have that snake oil salesman Randy Levine in the Yankee arsenal because that man is a fraud in his own right. And that's right. I said it. He is a fraud. He is a snake oil salesman. Just that smile holding the soccer ball with Commissioner Garber and the owners of Manchester City. To see him holding that ball, that soccer ball, makes me want to throw up. And you know what hurts me the most? Is that before getting back into the game of soccer, football, I'm from the Bronx, originally. I grew up as, and still is, a New York Yankee fan. And to see them getting involved in this project really sickens me to no end. A team that I've rooted for, a team that I've watched growing up, watching Don Mattingly through the years, trying to make the playoffs and finally did in his last professional season in 1995, and then watching the Derek Jeter era take over with five championships. And to see them partnering with the league, it's terrible. I don't think George Steinbrenner would ever do anything like this. But you know what? These are different times. And all I hear from these people that I respect and I listen to them, I'm not going to change their minds. I know I'm not going to change their minds. But all I hear is the state Red Bull Arena is too far from the city. I'm sorry, what? Excuse me? You know, the Meadowlands is kind of far away from Brooklyn and Queens, yet Jet fans and Giant fans that come from those boroughs, including all the way from Long Island, make the trek to see those games. And I don't care if it's the NFL or the NHL or the NBA. I don't care if the Nets did leave New Jersey to go to Brooklyn. The Nets are a nomad team. They've been on both sides of the Hudson River, so they can kiss my ass. This is the biggest pile of crap I have ever heard in my life. Because guess what I can do for those of you that are not sure how to get there? If you can't find the World Trade Center PATH train to get directly to Harrison towards Newark, I'll help you out. If you can't get to New Jersey Transit at New York City Penn Station, go to Newark Penn Station, and then the PATH train to go one stop to Harrison, I'll help you out. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And while all of this is going on, I hear more baloney by the day. I hear more crap by the day, and it's disgusting. See, New Yorkers, we're supposed to be a tough bunch of guys. No nonsense type of guys or people. We're supposed to be mentally tough, that you knock us down, we can get back up. If we can't go one way, we'll find another way to do so. But I guess in these times, New Yorkers have become pansies. Oh, we don't want to go. It's too far. Oh, my God, it's too far. You know what? I don't care. It was too far for me to go to Nassau Coliseum to watch the New York Rangers play the Islanders, and I went. Yeah, it took me maybe an hour and a half with or without traffic, but I went to see my team play the New York Islanders. Or if someone said to me, hey, listen, I got a ticket to the Islander game. You want to go? Who's against? It's another NHL team. Fine, I'll go. I don't care. I'll go watch because I don't care. I mean, what has happened to us? Have we become weak? Soft? It looks like it. Too far here. It's too far there. Guess what? Deal with it. We've been known to deal with it for how long? And all of a sudden now it becomes too tough. Now all of a sudden it becomes too difficult to get over to Red Bull Arena. Maybe I'm a different type of person. I was born in 1973. My father always told me you got to work hard, and if you want to get somewhere, you got to make, you know, you got to get there. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe we're nothing anymore. Maybe we like to whine, bitch, complain about everything. Maybe we've become too yellow. At least I still go to my old neighborhood, and at least I still go to see friends, acquaintances, former business neighbors. I get my hair done in the Bronx, you know? I get a cut in the Bronx. I still go to my dentist in the Bronx. You think, I mean, what? I'm still from the Bronx. You can take the boy out of the Bronx, but you can't take the Bronx out of the boy. But apparently, it's too hard to go somewhere that's not a subway stop away. But I can help you if you let me. But you know what? Maybe I shouldn't. And you know what? Regardless of what anyone says, regardless of what anyone thinks, this is still owned by Manchester City. This will be, regardless of the name, fake NYCFC. This will be Man City USA, you mark my words. This is not a real club. This is a pipe dream forced down our throats. And let me apologize to the fans in Orlando, Florida, because you should have been number 20. Regardless of the bill that did not go up to the Florida legislature, you're more ready for this than MLS was ever to put number 20 in the league. And we're going to have more during the Red Bull Hour, because I got a nice little message to some of these so-called New York City FC fans. You listen. My guest for tonight, great show for you, Warren Jones, Houston Dynamo supporter, my good friend Warren Jones. He, of course, is going to talk about what's happened to the Houston Dynamo, not just that home stadium winning streak being snapped, but other fun things as well. The NASL segment will review everything. The 2-2 draw on the Red Bulls hour, we will review that along with the extra oomph I'll give you. But, of course, waiting to come on the show right now is a good friend of mine over in the Denver, Colorado area. A good friend of mine who follows the Colorado Rapids, and that is, of course, Patrick Quinn. Of course, let's not forget it is Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day, everyone, and to our troops, happy Memorial Day to you as well, and hopefully we'll get Mr. Quinn on the line as we get set for this show here, Memorial Day. And if you take a look and see what's going on here, you take a look at the standings in the Western Conference of Major League Soccer, you got to say that it's pretty darn good.
Not available right now. If you leave
and
me your
we
name
got
and number.
20 not available at the moment. So hopefully we will try and get him back on as soon as we can, if possible. But you got to say for the Rapids, in Major League Soccer right now, in the Western Conference, not bad holding that fifth place position. And hopefully discussing more about what's going on. Joining me right now, my good friend Patrick Quinn over in the Denver area. Quinny, how are you, my friend? Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you, too. I'm doing pretty good.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I know... towards the end of last year, you weren't happy with Oscar Pereja's game plan and tactics and stuff. But right now, as I'm taking a look at the standings here in the Western Conference, you are holding that fifth spot. And right now, a four-point lead ahead of the Sounders, and you're only a point behind the Galaxy for fourth.
Yeah, he's definitely had a run of good form. It's definitely an accomplishment for him to go five games without losing at least one. So that's definitely the first sign of progress we've seen from him, really, since he took over. So, I mean, time will tell. We still got a lot of the season left, and I know Seattle's got, I think, two games in hand, if my memory serves me right. But, yeah, I definitely say we're playing better, and now we're starting to get people healthy, so we'll really see if this is kind of the regular thing or if we're going to start slumping again.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this, though. What changes has Pereja made to sustain this good form at the moment?
I think part of it is he's much more defensively focused. I mean, in contrast to last year, and we were just hemorrhaging goals pretty much on a regular basis, even though our goal production was pretty decent. I mean, it was average. And this year it's kind of been flipped around a little bit up until the last couple games, but our goal production hasn't been much to really write home about, and that's sort of been a problem with the team is converting chances, but the defense has been much more solid. And I think part of that is he's not committing as many numbers forward as he would have in a situation like this last year. And so I think that kind of helps to keep us more organized and we're not always caught with our pants down on the counterattack. And, I mean, we've just been conceding a lot fewer goals, and that definitely goes a long way to improving our record.
Got at least a good road win at the Crew Stadium. You got a good road draw at Buckshaw against the Earthquakes. And, of course, there's that 2-0 victory over Chivas USA. Speaking about Chivas USA when they came over, because they were riding high at first, and now I guess they went back down to earth, I don't know, but... what was it about that game against Chivas USA you felt confident that you're going to get 3 points at home?
I mean, Chivas are just kind of a club in a lot of ways, both on and off the field, that have sort of lost their way, I think. And, you know, with kind of the sort of backdoor stuff that is happening and everybody's speculating about what's going to happen to that club, you know, a year from now. But I think that definitely has an impact on the team. And, you know, you kind of have an owner that basically is actively sabotaging that team, outsourcing, you know, a lot of the resources and stuff to the parent club in Guadalajara. But I think that in a lot of ways has a big impact on the team, and plus some of the trades they've made, just real head scratchers to me when I look at it.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about DeShawn Brown. Right now, he's tied for two goals, along with Edson Buttle, Dylan Powers, Atiba Harris, and of course Nathan Sturgis. But he's leading the club with assists with four. He's taking the most shots, that's for sure. So you know he's not goal shy. 12 of them are on goal. How good is this kid right now, and how much confidence do you see coming out of him?
I mean, he plays with a very high energy level, and that's encouraging. And, yeah, it's really nice that you have somebody that's not afraid to, you know, go to goal. I mean, some of his decision-making, I think, could use a little bit more polish. I mean, he definitely could work on his shooting. And I think his assist production is – it bears a lot of resemblance to what Omar Cummings was doing for us, you know, two or three years ago, where he'd make these fast runs kind of deep towards the touchline, and then is playing these crosses across the 6-yard box. Usually somebody would be there to tap it in. And I think that's where the majority of his assist production is coming from.
Uh-huh. So, wow, it sounds like this guy is very, very confident in himself. Comes from Manchester, Jamaica, but attended University of Central Florida. Part of that PDL team, that Reading United team that's in the Open Cup this year. Now, you are going to face this, I believe it's Orlando City team right now in your schedule for tomorrow night, I believe. And
yep.
You're going to be on the road at the Citrus Bowl, and you know it's going to be a little tricky there. But how do you feel? You feel confident that they're going to try and go there and spoil the party?
I mean, we've got the players for it now. I think we only have three players right now that are really injured. So we have the depth at this point, I think. But, I mean, it's a real question of how organized they are and, you know, how much of a desire there is to actually advance in the tournament. I'm still not sure whether they take it seriously or not. And plus, Orlando isn't exactly a pushover either. They definitely are one of the stronger of the lower division sides, and they're very capable of beating an MLS team in a one-off match, particularly at home.
Definitely. Let me ask you this question. Obviously, you're not from New York City. That's obvious. That's the first obvious thing about you. I know that. But as you probably already know, Don Garber has already decided to put a second New York City team in within the five boroughs. As Manchester City and the New York Yankees come together, and they're going to be playing in that stadium, even though Don Garber said that there were supposed to be plans for a new soccer stadium in the five boroughs, and that never happened. But what's your feeling about this? How do you feel hearing about this?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big fan of it at all. In fact, I absolutely hate it. I mean, it's not grassroots at all. It was just a real fast cash grab by Garber to get the expensive expansion fee, and it was to help them get a little more leverage for TV negotiation rights in 2014. That's the real reason it happened. I mean, and I'm not a big fan of the Yankees. I'm not a big fan of Manchester City. In fact, I think Manchester City represents a lot of the things that are wrong with the modern game today, and I really do not like them. So, I mean, overall, a lot of this just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They have no fan base at all either. They're just going to try and get the bandwagon effect going as much as they can, and we're going to see how that turns out. But, yeah, I'm not impressed at all, really.
Hmm. Yeah, the same thing here. I went off at the top of the hour. I went off myself. I am not a fan of this. I agree with you. It's a cash grab. And, you know, who knows if they did sell off that quarter of sum to some sort of business person in Providence, Rhode Island. We'll never know what's really going to be going on over there in the league office in New York City. But just to get back with the Rapids right now, how confident are you right now that this team is finally going into the right direction? Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in this Open Cup game or your next league game again at home against FC Dallas. But what makes you feel confident that this team could make that run once again and possibly get another MLS Cup playoff run to get to the final?
I think the thing that gives me the most confidence would be probably just the fact that we have more people healthy now. I mean, it was ridiculous how many injuries we had earlier in the season where we could barely field a full lineup card. But now, you know, we're getting everybody back, and that's definitely, I think, going to be playing in our favor more than any other factor. I mean, he's got some tough lineup decisions in front of him, but I suppose that's a good problem to have.
Wow. Yeah, you sound pretty confident there, Quinny. I never doubt you for a minute, but but you know, it's just been absolutely fantastic so far for the Rapids. It looks like that they're getting their act together. I think Pareja is probably going to finally start getting a good run here. Just want to go back, if we can, that great snowy night over at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and you know, watching the U.S. men's national team winning against Costa Rica 1-0, and of course the protest was thrown out by FIFA from Costa Rica because they felt that they should have stopped the match. Just from your perspective, because I know I had you on for the pregame show, and I know you had to get out of there for the postgame, but the point is, what was it like to finally seeing a qualifier at this beautiful place that is Dick's Sporting Goods Park, especially with the snowstorm coming down the way it did?
I mean, it was an incredible game, and it was nice to get a second qualifier there. We had one back in the last World Cup cycle, but it really was a meaningless game, and it was the week before Thanksgiving. So, you know, for a lot of reasons, nobody came to that match, but we had a game that actually mattered, and, you know, we filled the place and then some. Tickets sold out incredibly fast. And, I mean, it was a very memorable game, too. I mean, if it were good weather and we just would have won 1-0, it just kind of would have been a blip on the radar, so what? But just because of the incredible snow that we had, I mean, it's definitely a legendary game in terms of the conditions and everything. It'll last long in the memory, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That was pretty interesting. To be honest with you, I had no idea if they were going to stop and postpone the game myself with all that snow coming down. But I guess good on the referee for allowing the match to continue. It didn't really look that dangerous to me. Everything was fine. I mean, it's not like it's Northern Ireland or anything like that, but
well, and again, they stopped the game for a little bit there, and they were, you know, discussing it amongst the players. And, I mean, Costa Rica agreed to continue to keep playing. I mean, everybody agreed to keep playing. I mean, had Costa Rica won that game, I have a very sneaking suspicion that they would not have, you know, tried to make a big deal out of it and file a bogus protest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. That's very, very true. Obviously, Kroenke is the owner of the Rapids, and, of course, he's also running the board at Arsenal in the Barclays Premier League. Have you seen him at all over there? Has he talked with the fans about maybe some future plans with the team, you know, maybe to get possibly a big-time DP for this side? Has he said anything?
Well, we hear absolutely nothing from him at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're lucky to see him in a game, but the fact that he would even like openly talk about the Rapids would be an absolute shock to everybody out here. So it's not saying a whole lot, really. I mean, he's pretty hands off in every sense of the word.
So he just trusts his sporting director and technical director, and off they go.
Well, as long as they fall within his tight-fisted budget, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I see that. Well, you know, Quinny, look, right now there's something good going on here with the Rapids, and obviously they're in that fifth position in the West. You're going to probably be, if you stay right there, you're probably going to be on the road for the one-game playoff. It all depends on if it's the Galaxy or if you can try and become the home team on that one. But, you know, good luck with the season, and I'll definitely keep tabs on you. We'll chat, and take care of yourself, and happy Memorial Day, my friend.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Thanks. That's Patrick Quinn over in the supporters section in the Dick's Sporting Goods Park on the, I believe it's the East End. I could be wrong. I have to take a look and see on Google Maps where the stadium is positioned directional-wise, but other than that, it sounds like the Rapids are going to have themselves at the moment a pretty good season, and I don't see why not Everything looks fine. Everything looks good. And for Colorado, it looks like they're going to have themselves a good year so far, but we'll have to wait and see. There's still plenty of matches to go. And as we continue on here on the 40 Scenes Fire Internet Soccer Show, we're waiting for my good friend, Warren Jones, to call in to talk about something strange happening over at BBVA Compass Stadium, because apparently there's been a loss. In fact, there's been two losses. What the heck is going on in Houston, Texas? Two straight losses. Unbelievable. And joining me right now is my good friend Warren Jones to discuss this. Warren, I know you're a happy guy. I know you're a positive guy. Two straight home losses? What the hell happened?
Well, what can you say? You know, you put together a record streak. It comes to an end. You have a lull. You lose two back-to-back. It's not the end of the world. Streaks are meant to be broken. Records are meant to be broken. I think the game that the second game, I didn't the second game that we lost to New England, we played really poor, and there was some handbags going on at the beginning of the match. Bobby Boswell gets a red card and that kind of thing. So after that, we were a little disjointed and out of sorts. We had some players playing out of position. None of that is an excuse for a 2-0 loss, but you know, just as a spectator of that game, you could kind of see where that was going. The Dynamo just did not look in sync. Probably one of the worst or more poorer performances overall by the team I've seen in a while. But they'll come back from that. You know, that's they may have had a little hangover from the streak ending. I don't know. I know the fans and that was something that this club takes pride in, and it was definitely something that we all hated to see come to an end. But it happens, and you move on. It's still a long season. In many ways, the pressure of continuing the streak now is gone. So hopefully that'll take a little bit of that home pressure off, and allow us to come back at allow us to take a new approach or a better approach at the games going forward.
Well, first of all, let's applaud the Dynamo for such a great home winning record. Both, I know, Robertson Stadium and at BBVA Compass Stadium, because that's a combination of, I'll be honest, two great venues that the Dynamo have played in. And we have to applaud the Dynamo for such a great winning streak at home. You know, I mean, I don't think it's been luck all the time, but you got to give credit to Dominic Kinnear for having a great game plan to make sure that you always get 3 points at home.
Yeah, well, it's a tremendous home field advantage between a fantastic fan base. You know, I would argue that our fan base, the hardcore Dynamo fans, the supporters groups, are on par with the best in the league. And couple that with the weather that we've talked about a few times, you know, a lot of teams come into Houston, they can't cope with the heat, or the humidity. And, you know, you hit that 60th, 70th minute, and if you're not fit, you're going to have trouble here. And that's one of Dominic's mantras is, if you're going to play for the Dynamo, you're going to be fit. That's how we've done well at home. We have a stadium that was kind of size-wise, was built to was built to the style of play that we like. And we take advantage of that. There's not much more to it than that. I think the crowd does give the team that 12th man, and you can see it when it gets in the late minutes, when it's a if it's a tie game or a close game or the Dynamo need a goal, we've had more than one occasion where we pulled out a win in the dying minutes or a draw at the death or in stoppage time. And it's, again, it's something, as supporters, we're kind of sad to see that record fall by the wayside, but it gives us an opportunity to start another one, which we obviously had to wait two games to do. But we'll have more success at home. I honestly can't say that we'll ever see that record again, but I would certainly welcome it, as I know the club and the supporters would welcome it as well.
Absolutely. You know, we know that Brian Ching is a much loved player with the Houston Dynamo, but it's a little strange that Brian Ching is not in the big stats category when it comes to, like, Will Bruin, Giles Barnes, Brad Davis, Kofi Sarkodie, Bonet Garcia. You know, I mean, I know he's coming off the bench, this time around, but I'm not saying it's frustrating. I mean, you know, sooner or later, Brian Ching's going to have his career come to an end, obviously on his own terms. But how good is it seeing some of these players stepping up and, you know, contributing to some of these victories?
Well, on the subject of Brian Ching, I think you have to understand that Brian Ching is just a class act. For those of your listeners who may just know Brian Ching, the footballer, Brian Ching is in the community, and a lot of the Dynamo players, not just Brian Ching, but Brian in particular is very involved in local activities here in town. And I think he at this stage in his career is just being honest with himself. I think he knows, and I think Dominic Kinnear know, that he's not a 90-minute a match player anymore. And he's had some niggling injuries here and there. And I think he just knows that the older you get, the leaner your playing time is going to be. And I think Brian, I don't know if it's a function of coming from Hawaii and being born in Hawaii, where it's just a little more laid back. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy. He's not an ego guy. He's not out there saying, I have to have the ball to, and I have to score, and I need to be the focus of the team. He knows exactly where he fits in with this team. He's comfortable with it. The club is comfortable with it, and the manager is comfortable with it. And I think the thing that you have to love about Brian Ching is he just wants to play football. If it's 5 minutes today and 20 minutes next game, and somebody does go down and he does have to put in a full game, then he's going to be that guy too. But the fans have a grasp of that as well. They know that, Brian's no longer, he's no longer a spring chicken, but he does provide, what he does give this club is a lot of leadership, a lot of link to the history of the club and to the successes of the club, and the players look up to him. And he's just a great clubhouse guy and the kind of guy you want at your club as a veteran leader, who will at some day, when he kind of rides off into the sunset, we'll be able to look at players like Brian Ching, Brad Davis, and go, okay, those are the first legends of our club. And as the Houston Dynamo age and become a 20-year-old, 30, 40, 50-year-old franchise, these are the guys that we're going to look back at and go, man, we got to see Brian Ching play. We got to see Brad Davis play. We got to see Pat Onstad play, D-Row, when he was here. And I think that when the time will come when Brian will hang up his boots, but every year we get to the end of the season, the supporters are like, well, let's hope it's not this year. And fortunately, we've got another, at least one more season out of him, and who knows, we'll see about next year.
The trade for Omar Cummings, or at least the acquisition of him, was supposed to bolster the striker tandem along with Will Bruin, but apparently he's only played two games coming off the bench.
Right.
Is he still injured, or just Dominic just lost his faith in him?
No, I think he's. I think the book on him right now is he's still injured. To what extent, I don't know. Offense is still an area of – it's a touchy area. Of course, Kalen Carr is still out rehabbing as well. So we're, you know, we're kind of a patchwork offense, even though Bruin is fit, Bonnie Garcia is fit. I mean, we're Brad Davis is fit. I mean, the major components are there, but we still need some other pieces. And I think if Cummings can get fit and can step in and play the role that he was brought here for, I think that will take some of the pressure off the other guys because, you know, I think going into the season, you looked at that front line, and I think we even talked about it maybe a couple of podcasts back or the preseason podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I expected this to be one of the more productive front lines in the league based on a number of things, just talent, number one, past performance, number two, and I just thought they had the chemistry after having a season of, you know, Will Bruin's now got another season under his belt. Garcia's got another season in a Dynamo uniform. I feel like this was kind of the year that their chemistry was going to start to produce more results. And we kind of I wouldn't say we've taken a step backwards, but I'd say we probably have stalled a little bit, even though we had, you know, a 4-0 win against D.C. But we're really not scoring well or playing well offensively against some of the top teams in the league. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, when I checked the stats or our standings versus our record last time, we have, I think, a 1-3-1 record against the playoff performing teams or the teams that are in the playoffs right now. The playoffs started today. And that's not, you know, that's nothing to write home about. As good as we think we may be playing, I mean, we are in a good position in the conference. There's some things to be concerned with, I think, as far as our performance against the top teams. We're playing well against the teams we need to play well against, but we need to score more goals against the top teams. When we play, you know, the FC Dallas's and even KC, which we're coming off a draw, and then of course the loss that ended the streak to KC. Those are the teams that we need to put some goals on those guys and let them know who we are and what we plan to do offensively, because at the moment, you know, the bulk of our goals are coming against teams that we expect to score on, and we need to improve that. We need to improve our output, I believe.
But I think absolutely. Warren,
in the same room, he'd tell you the same.
Yeah, I bet he would. Warren, obviously, this Wednesday night, your round three Open Cup match against FC Tucson of the PDL is going to be at BBVA Compass Stadium. You know, they're going to be a tough side, and I know they're going to come in trying to upset the Dynamo. Do you feel Dominic Kinnear's finally taking the Open Cup seriously this time around?
You know, I think you and I have talked about this before, and it's the one thing I really wish as a club we took more seriously. Now they're making noise this season, both the club and in the press, and they're saying all the right things, like it's an important competition, and I hope that's the case. We'll see by the starting lineup Dom puts out there on Wednesday, because in the past, you know, we haven't always played our strongest lineups. Now, to be fair, a lot of times when we have had Open Cup matches in the past, we've had other overlapping tournaments or some, you know, pretty significant injuries or international duty. So it's not like we've just bagged it. In some cases in the past where we've played games where we've gotten knocked out, the team that we ran out was the team that we had to run out. You know what I mean? So if we had certain injuries or international duty or whatever might have been going on at that time, for whatever reason, we don't historically have not put out a real strong side. And I think with this game being at home and with hopefully a new commitment to the U.S. Open Cup, I know the fans would love to see the Dynamo dive in a little bit more and take the competition more seriously. I mean, I think the fans have a grasp that you know, the U.S. Open Cup is the parallel competition, if you will, not maybe not in tradition, but in certainly in like competition to the FA Cup in England. So if this is something that they truly do want to take seriously, we'll see about that on Wednesday night when we see the starting lineups. I have a feeling that we'll see a stronger lineup than usual because for a couple of reasons. Dominic is not going to want to be embarrassed by a lower league team at home.
No.
Especially coming off of two losses. And so I'd be very surprised to see if we played a weaker side or a weakened side on Wednesday. And I'm not – maybe you know the answer to this. I don't. I'm not sure if – I'm assuming Bobby Boswell is available for that game, but I haven't checked. He, of course, was suspended, and I don't know if that – that suspension carries over to
I don't think it does unless he was suspended in the Open Cup last year and they got eliminated,
right.
And then it would carry over to this year's tournament. But this isn't like England where if you get suspended in the
right.
Premiership and then your next match is the FA
Cup,
you're going
to
get suspended for
the
FA Cup
and leaked up. Right.
No, it doesn't. That I know it does not carry over unless they change the rules,
case,
and I don't know.
In that case, I would definitely expect to see Bobby Boswell in because he's been without a game here for the last couple of matches, and so that will definitely help our defense. Although we will have three of our players called away to international duty. So our starting keeper. Tally Hall, and then Brad Davis, and I believe Corey Ash got the U.S. men's team call-up. So, right there, that's kind of an example of, let's say something freakish happens and Tucson were to beat the Dynamo and you and I are having this discussion again next year at the same time. We would probably look back at this at the lineup Dom put out, well, it wouldn't necessarily jump out at us that, well, we had three starters that were gone, and three critical starters at that. So those are the kinds of things that we've historically had to deal with in the past with Open Cup. And I think this year it's a little bit different. I think the U.S. Open Cup is gaining a little bit in popularity and in importance, and it's a good competition. Everybody loves an underdog, even if they're playing against your side. I mean, I love the fact that there's a lower league team coming into Houston to play the Dynamo. The same Cinderella story that they have in England, and I would like to, and I think other supporters would like to see it grow as well. We'll see if the Dynamo can progress. I'm sure they will. Like I said, Dominic's going to he's going to light a fire underneath them because he will not want to come away from that match with a loss.
Very, very true. Well.
And then after that, we've got, I believe, two home games. So I think we've got the Crew.
You got FC Dallas. No, I'm sorry. You don't have FC Dallas. Who do you have here?
And then Montreal.
You got you're at Columbus and you're at Montreal.
I'm sorry. We got Crew's away, and then we've got Montreal away.
That's right.
So we two on the road, which. May or may not be a good thing at the moment, and then we return at home against Toronto, and then we get your favorite New York Red Bull.
That's right.
At New York,
you're coming over, aren't you?
We're going to try.
Okay.
We're definitely going to try.
Tourist. Okay, Warren. Well, listen, good luck on Wednesday against FC Tucson, and good luck the rest of the year. I'll definitely give you a call back or an invite to come back on the show. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. That's Warren Jones, my good friend down in Houston, Dynamo supporter, talking about what's going on. Let's go to the North American Soccer League segment right now real quick. Let's recap some of these games, Memorial Day weekend games. The Atlanta Silverbacks get back on track with a 1-0 victory over the San Antonio Scorpions at Atlanta Silverbacks Park. And once again, it was a 1-0 victory for Atlanta. And they are, you know, they've been unbelievable stuff going on. But once again, final score there, Atlanta 1, San Antonio 0. Big game over at Al Lang Stadium. It was, of course, Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting Minnesota United. And Minnesota just doing a job, doing a big job. And they come out with a big road win for 3 points. It was Cristiano Diaz in the 10th minute, followed then equalizer by Georgi Hristov in the 14th. Gennison Mora in the 23rd made it 2-1 Minnesota. Simone Broccolello made it 3-1 Minnesota in the 26th. And then in the 29th, Georgi Hristov with his brace made it 3-2 for Minnesota, helping Tampa pulling one back. And to be honest with you, that was the end of that. So nothing in the second half. Your final score, Tampa Bay 2, Minnesota United 3. And then as we once again keep on going here, the final match of the weekend on Sunday the 26th, Fort Lauderdale gets a big win on the road at Clark Stadium against FC Edmonton. The only goal of the match in the second half in the 69th minute, Carlos Salazar with the only goal of the match for the Strikers, as they get their second win of the season, spring season. Once again, the final score, FC Edmonton 0, Fort Lauderdale 1. Let's go to the standings right now in the North American Soccer League in the spring season. Unbelievable. Carolina does not play this weekend. And look who reclaims first place, the Atlanta Silverbacks. 13 points, 4 wins, a draw, 2 losses with a +2 differential. Carolina Railhawks, the only team that was absent for league action this weekend. They are in second place with 11 points, but they're +4 on the differential. Tampa Bay Rowdies with third place, +2 on the differential with 11 points. Minnesota United in fourth place as well with 11 points with a +2 differential as well. Fifth place, FC Edmonton with 8 points, even on the differential. Sixth place, Fort Lauderdale. They finally get their second win of the season. 2 wins, a draw, and 4 losses with a -5. Last place, San Antonio with 5 points. 7 games played, 1 win, 2 draws, 4 losses. They've scored 7, but allowed 12, and they also have a -5 differential. So right there and then, San Antonio in dead last. Second season, it goes to show you, you get a sophomore jinx, unfortunately, for the San Antonio Scorpions. They got plenty of time to get back. Let's look at Open Cup scheduling, if we can. And the 4 of the 6 advance to round 3, of course. Fort Lauderdale Strikers hosting FC Dallas at Lockhart Stadium on Tuesday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Real Salt Lake hosting the Atlanta Silverbacks. And, of course, that's at Rio Tinto Stadium. That's probably more of a 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain start for Real Salt Lake on Tuesday, May 28th. On Wednesday, May 29th, Carolina Railhawks will once again host the Los Angeles Galaxy at Wake Med Soccer Park, 7 o'clock Eastern. Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting the Seattle Sounders at Al Lang Stadium at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, May 29th. That's your U.S. Open Cup schedule for round 3 proper. And then you go straight into the weekend, the beginning of June. Saturday, June 1st, Fort Lauderdale Strikers hosting the Carolina Railhawks at Lockhart Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, San Antonio Scorpions hosting the Minnesota United at Toyota Field. And then on Sunday, June the 2nd at 4 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Mountain, FC Edmonton taking on the Tampa Bay Rowdies at Clark Stadium. Atlanta Silverbacks will be taking their break. So there it is right there. Of course, you can watch three of the four NASL teams that are hosting their Open Cup matches on their Ustream channel. Go to the top of the page at thenasl.com and check out their Ustream. Click on the Ustream tab, the banner at the top, NASL on Ustream. You can watch all their games. NASL.com for all your second division information as we move forward. Player of the week for week 8. And it's going to be great because it's Danny Barrera of the Atlanta Silverbacks. He's been named NASL Player of the Week for week 8 of the spring semester. Congratulations to Mr. Danny Barrera for Player of the Week. NASL. Here's also a big time information. Technical director of the Atlanta Silverbacks, Eric Winalda, he'll fly in to be a part of the coaching staff coming from his Fox soccer duties. He'll fly into Salt Lake City, head on over to Sandy, Utah, and help out his Silverbacks, giving some advice, of course, to the coaching staff, to the players. And I think that's absolutely fantastic to give a helping hand to Brian Haynes, the head coach of the Silverbacks. Great opportunity for Eric Winalda and, of course, for the Silverbacks as well. It's fantastic. Good stuff. Probably some Open Cup magic from when he was with Cal FC as their head coach last year in the 2012 Open Cup tournament. Good job for him to come back and to help out with the Atlanta Silverbacks. That's your NASL segment, ladies and gentlemen, as we'll continue on here very soon. And we'll get right now into the Red Bull Hour. And you know what? I said I would make a return on this discussion when it comes to this whole New York City FC baloney. This is a message that I want to send out to New York City soccer fans. Now, this is not aimed at the South Ward that makes up the Empire Supporters Club, the Garden State Ultras, and the Viking Army. This is not towards the team, the fans that support the New York Cosmos, those supporters groups. This is not aimed at you, because you never know if you're going to have jumpers leaving your supporters group as well. You hope that's not the case. You hope that's not true. But this goes out to those that are not a part of supporters groups of those two sides. This goes to you that all of a sudden you claim you don't want to go, but now you do. You see, this is what I'm talking about. I hear about, it's too far to go all the way over there. It's too far. It's too far to go all the way to Harrison at Red Bull Arena. It's too far to go to Newark. What? No, it's not in Newark. It's in Harrison. It's the town before Newark. It's a PATH train. It's not that difficult to follow directions, unless you're a lazy bastard. See, this is what I'm talking about. Weak-minded people these days. I'm talking about you who are probably a bunch of Euro snobs, yet now you find out that Man City is running this team. Oh, but now you're a fan of this team now. Now you're a fan. You're a fan now of soccer in the United States because it's Manchester City that's doing it. And you're also a Yankee fan, too, and that's the thing. And you know what that spells out to me? And what type of people you are? It starts with an F. It ends with a D, but you can add an S at the end of it. R-A, you know what I mean? You know what's in the middle. You know what letters are in the middle of that word. But if you're not sure, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, it's really simple. You're called frauds. Full of it. You claim to be something that you were a part of, but you're really not. It's in your backyard. Because I know what you are. You are an NFL fan. You root for the Jets or you root for the Giants in the NFL. And then, oh, you can make the trek. Oh, it's okay. You can make the trek to watch your favorite NFL teams who still has the NY in their helmets and their logos. You can still do it to go to MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium, the Meadowlands. You'll make the trek from Southern Connecticut, from Long Island, Staten Island. You can go ahead and make the trek. But when it comes to soccer, you don't want to do it. It's just too hard. It's just too difficult to make the move. It's just too damn hard to get off your pathetic butts and make the trek to New Jersey. Guess what? You're frauds. Because back in the day, all we wanted was people to come to Giant Stadium and support the game. And slowly but surely, after that first year, the crowds died down because why? Because it's not like the Premier League. It's not like La Liga. It's not like Serie A. It's not even the Bundesliga. And we understood all that. But you got to let the game grow. You got to be behind a team that you love and support. But it just didn't fit with your beliefs. And you know what? We had common enemy. The typical American sports fan that didn't really give a damn about the game of soccer. But now, oh, we love the Premier League. Now we have two factions. But even though that faction is starting to come around, and there is a beautiful gem of a stadium that's not far away, that's close to a commuter railroad. In fact, if they ever do decide to make a station for Jersey Transit that goes to the Broad Street station in Newark from Penn Station as well, or even from Hoboken, I'd be for it. I would be for it. And you know what? That would double the pleasure to bring over PATH trains and Jersey Transit trains into Harrison, because it's possible. But now you want your New York City FC. Now you want to be spoon-fed. Now you want your forced football at the ballpark, in the new ballpark at the Bronx. You are frauds. Maybe you wanted to be a part of this. Maybe you didn't want to be a part of it. But it was right there for you. I mean, I understand he's probably 35 years old, but Thierry Henry can still fucking play. Oh, did I curse? I guess it was meant to. I guess I meant to curse. Because when I usually get to this level, I'm super pissed off. Because maybe it is true now that at Yankee Stadium, because this is not a big-time New York Yankees team, that the bandwagoners have decided to stay away. So now you're seeing real Yankee fans are in Yankee Stadium watching their team play. And I can't stand bandwagoners. And what's going to happen when your best friend, Don Garber, who's going to try and try and try to build you that stadium, and he can't find a piece of land to do it, and the city council will continue to say to you, no, 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 no. I mean, come on. How many times are they going to slice the mound off and you watch and wait when real Yankee fans are complaining and when the Yankee players and the starting pitchers and the bullpen players are going to be upset because of the soccer that's interfering with their home games? What's going to happen then? Because this is the same situation that happened at RFK. The Washington Nationals shared RFK with DC United. They had to remove the mound a couple of times for whenever DC was home and when DC went away. And what's going to happen? Because the Nationals pitchers, they were upset. The mound's not how it should be because they keep slicing it off. But the thing is, it was only temporary because the Nationals were already building their stadium. So do you understand what I'm saying, frauds? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You go ahead, you join this pretend team, you go ahead and you assume that this is the best thing since sliced bread, because guess what? It's not. And then when you keep hearing about certain neighborhoods in the Bronx or in Queens, they're saying that, hey, MLS wants to put the soccer stadium over here, over there. Now, here's the thing. Don Garber has done this before, even when the plan did not go accordingly to what he wanted. Remember, and we could all laugh about this, remember where he said, above the train yard, next to the Javits Center, they're going to build the stadium there? Well, that's not going to happen. Do you remember NYCFC fake fans? Remember that? That's not going to happen. And now, everyone in Queens, you got faked out because there's no renderings for Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Nothing. And now after forcing this down our throats, fake fans, now he says Hunts Point in the Bronx. Who here knows about Hunts Point in the Bronx? Because apparently he said something about that. Put it there. You know where that place is? It's along the East River, southern end of the Bronx, a little bit east. Bunch of docks, warehouses. Oh, and I forgot to mention, the hookers are there too. That's right. Did Don Garber forget to watch those two HBO series several years ago? Did he forget to talk about the hookers that are turning tricks down there? I watched the HBO series. They talked to them. But apparently at nighttime, it's a great place to build a stadium and let the kids meet those types of people. Great job, Don. Commissioner Garber, great job. Hunts Point. I mean, it's a great place to put a stadium. There's no subway. There's only probably one line by Hunts Point. The six, but that's as far as it goes. But hey, let's not facts get in the way here. Huh? Once again, folks, it's just really, really, really interesting to talk about where to put a stadium. I mean, the easiest, I mean, Hunts Point, really. A big area of nothing. And you got to go underneath the Brunkner, too, to to walk over there. Do you know how many legitimate businesses are over there in those warehouses? I mean, people getting their car glass windows done, you know, the windshield. I mean, you can't park there. There's no garages. And you're expecting people to drive in that area? Really? Southern Boulevard? Come on, Don. Now, I'll admit Mott Haven is a lot better than it used to be, but that's a little more west. That's a little more Willis Avenue Bridge, if you think about it. Okay? But still, Hunts Point, really? You're going to put a stadium in Hunts Point? I mean, you're just going to throw it out there? Oh, we'll put it there. Really? Commissioner Garber, why? Why, Commissioner? Where are the stadium renderings? Where is the plan? Where? And supposed NYCFC fans, fraud fans, you think that's a great place to put a stadium? Do you think it's going to happen there? Seriously? Do you really believe that's a great place to put it? I mean, if you think it's a great place to put it, well, you know what? Good luck going to a place where, A, it's not stadium worthy, B, the neighborhood has not gotten better, C, it's more industrial, D, the hookers would love to have you, and that's for sure, and you know the cops are going to be waiting for you. So, I mean, if you think this will be a great time or a great place to put a soccer stadium there, well, keep on going. We all know Don hasn't been there because he's a Queens guy. Oh, no, he doesn't live in Queens anymore. He lives in New Jersey. Meanwhile, I know Rego Park in Queens. I know Flushing in Queens because I have family in Queens. I know Queens Boulevard. I know basically several neighborhoods in Queens and around that area. And yet, I know more about Queens than Don Garber does. Oh, my God. Is that true? Well, yeah, because I have family in Queens. I've been to these neighborhoods. Because that's where my family is. Now, I'll admit, I don't know all of Queens. But when it comes to an area where that supposed stadium was going to be, I think I know pretty much very well the neighborhoods. We are not ready for this stadium, frauds. We are not ready for this team. We are not ready to fix these problems, because you want to know why? Because let's be honest, two charter members still don't have their own stadiums. And as successful as the Pacific Northwest has been, frauds, here's the truth of the matter. These teams are so successful because they've been in the lower levels before coming up to Major League Soccer. Their teams have been there for a good long period of time. That's why the Sounders earned what they've earned, the Timbers have earned what they've earned, the Whitecaps have earned what they've earned, because they've been through everything a lot longer than Major League Soccer has. And even though frauds, Chivas USA wants to leave the Home Depot Center to build their own stadium, hey, Garber's asked them to stay a lot longer, because he recognizes that the only fit way this thing works is if they stay where they are and they continue to get over 8,000 fans a game, which is it's a sad thing to see, but it's the truth. Why is it, Commissioner Garber, that you've created this and you're not complete? Why is it that the southeastern part of the U.S. still does not have an MLS team? I know you guys don't care, but guess what? Why should we care about you, frauds? The real supporters are in the South Ward. This is Metro / Red Bulls. We are original since 1996. This is being forced, and it's not the right time. Plain and simple. And if no one wants to understand it, that's fine. Go ahead. Assume you've got everything going for you, frauds. Assume that Don Garber has your back, because you know what? One day, whether it starts in the 2015 season or in the next season or the third year or the fourth year of this so-called New York City team, which it's not, you win a championship, oh, it's match fixing, my friends. You watch. You watch. But that's all I got to say about that. South Ward, the real NYC supporters. I should know. I should know because I came from there. The other supporters of the NASL side, of the New York Cosmos, you know what? They're also real supporters. NYCFC, frauds, fakes. You're nothing. You never wanted to come over, so you know what? Pretend you're something, because you're not. And that's the truth. That is the truth. And don't you forget it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about some real soccer. Let's talk about a real team that's playing in Major League Soccer right now at Red Bull Arena. And by the way, just to let you know, PATH train, World Trade Center, straight to Newark. Get off at Harrison before the train goes to Newark. You're there. Walk it up. Oh, another thing. New York City, Penn Station, Jersey Transit, Northeastern Corridor train. Take it all the way to Newark, Penn Station. Get out. Go down. Find the PATH train that goes from Newark to Harrison. One stop. That's it. You're good to go. I've helped you, frauds. Now, use it. Don't be a fraud anymore. But then again, it's already too late, because you want to be frauds regardless. But that's the end of that. Let's get back to, again, this real New York City team since 1996. Original Metro Stars, now New York Red Bulls, a 2-2 draw. With the Red Bulls and the Columbus Crew, it all started a little bit badly. You got Dominic Oduro, who scored in the second minute off a terrible clearance from the back line. Very, very lazy start to the match. And once again, it was just a terrible, terrible clearance that allowed Dominic Oduro to avoid two defenders, stuffs it past Luis Robles, but he got hurt himself. An injured left thigh, and he tried to stick it out, but he couldn't stay along, and he was subbed out in the eighth minute. But a great ball by Tim Cahill sent Thierry Henry on a good run. It missed the defender. Henry gets a handle on it. He sees Andy Grunebaum well off his line, so he chips him. Equalizer, 1-1. And then at half, thinking to yourself, okay, they got the bad half out of the way. They're going to try and go out and find a way to score the go-ahead goal just so they can try and get 3 points. They had their chances, but then in the 73rd minute, Justin Miram, who got a great ball from Eddie Gavin, he's in the area, and he mishits the ball. And after he mishits it, Kosuke Kimura comes from behind or from the side, bumps Miram down, and the penalty was awarded. We'll get to that in a minute, but to continue on, Federico Higuain converted the penalty, and on replay it looked like Robles could have had that just under his left arm, and that made it 2-1 Columbus. They kept on going, the Red Bulls, trying to find the equalizer inside 3 minutes of second half stoppage time, just at the start of the first of three. Jaimeson Olave, the offensive defenseman, gets a great, let's put it this way, it's a nice little chip that came to his right foot. He settled it with his right foot, went to the left and buried it to make it 2-2. They had a great opportunity there to try and pull off a big game-winning chance, but that didn't happen. And at the end of 90 minutes, the New York Red Bulls and the Columbus Crew level at 2. And Mike Petke, not happy, not just with his players, but not happy with the officiating. Now, we're going to play you the post-match press conference. Boy, the man does not mince words, and I know how much you guys love the fire out of Mike Petke. And I'll have to admit it, I like it too. Here he is right now, and we'll talk more about that penalty afterwards. So here's Mike Petke, post-game press conference, mostly about the officiating.
Rebels head coach Mike Petke. Mike, your thoughts on today's match, please.
We didn't do enough to win that game. It wasn't a good performance at all by us, at all. I don't know if we underestimated him. I don't know what it was. Not a good performance by us. I will say this. While I say that perhaps we didn't deserve to win today, I have my checkbook out, and I'm ready for MLS to find me, because it's not good enough from the referees. It's not good enough. I watched a replay of the penalty of what I already knew to be not a penalty, and it backed it up. He mishits the ball, the player, mishits it, and then there's contact from the side. That's a guy, in my estimation, that's a guy who's probably getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend, who wants to be a part of the show. That's what it is to me, and I could care less what the league finds me or what they say. Those decisions, those type of things, cost jobs, and it goes to his partners on the sideline, who handballs, fouls happen 2 feet in front of them, and they don't even see it. I'm pissed off. Like I said, I'm not blaming the refs for us not winning. I don't think we did enough to win. But we're going to have games like that. And to give them that PK call, shocking.
Take questions, please. Use the microphone being passed around. Christian and Brian.
Can you just break down what you thought you saw on that PK call and why?
I just went through it for 5 minutes. He mishit the ball, and then there was contact afterwards. So go ahead and reward the player for mishitting the ball, because it was a little touch.
Right.
Did you have any conversation with him afterwards?
No conversation.
You guys
don't even... This new pro wants us to be good relationship with the referees, but we're forbidden from approaching them or having any contact with them. It's an automatic card or something. So I guess that's working out.
I didn't know that. Just around. Tom.
Can you talk about, you go down 2-1, you get a couple of chances, you go to injury time, and I mean, the team bounces back. I mean, how much does that say about the way they're playing now?
Listen, we've had a very good run so far. It's still going. We're still unbeaten. Today, I would say by their estimation as well, it wasn't good. Goes on me as well as a coach. Maybe I didn't prepare them right this week. Maybe we underestimated them. Or just maybe it was one of those days. Yeah. You know? Yeah, we bounced back. We're down 2-1 at home. Of course we're going to look decent in those moments because we're pushing everybody forward. But the standard wasn't from everything, from the coaches to the players, it wasn't where it should be today. Michael.
Mike, could I ask what you said to the fourth official on the sideline?
Come on. I just made a statement for 5 minutes about I'm not going to go through what I said to the referee. I'm already going to get fined for this, which I could care less. I'm not going to keep harping on the same thing. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't a PK. Over here.
Mike, at least can you say you can get this game out of the way and prepare for Wednesday's Open Cup match against Reading United, who sounds like from the Harrisburg side that they're ready to come in here to take on your side?
Yeah, I respect that they would be, you know. It's the Open Cup. They got a big win against Harrisburg, and they're going to come in here, of course. They're not going to lay down to us. I'm taking the Open Cup seriously. So it'll be a mixture of the team, most likely. And we're looking to get a win Wednesday. That's really all it is. You win, you move on, you lose, you're done. And I you know, this is a good opportunity for this team moving forward to advance in the tournament, see some other players, some players that we haven't been able to see a lot of, but also to win. That's what we're aiming for.
Take one more.
Kind of moving on, you know, Columbus had a little bit of a depleted back line there. They were missing two central defenders, but it looked like they performed pretty well. And they, especially in the first half, had a little bit of a higher line of pressure, perhaps, than you guys were expecting. Can you talk about their midfield and how they kind of compensated maybe for those defensive deficiencies?
Listen, they stepped up with 4 or 5 guys to pressure us, and we were not willing to or weren't able to bypass that pressure and sustain the flow of ball. Of the game. We just were content on either playing it sideways or backwards or long, and then losing the second balls. Credit Columbus for coming in and having, you know, that game plan, putting pressure on us and not caring that they have key players out. It wasn't good enough.
And that's Mike Petke talking about the match. Now let's get to the penalties. Let's get to the penalty right now. And we'll play audio from Kosuke Kimura and what he saw. You know, that was a strange situation that I have ever seen. That was a very strange situation when you have a player in the area and he's ready to kick the ball and he flubs the shot. I mean, it was like a divot shot. You grounded your club. And the ball pops up a little bit, but it doesn't do anything. And then he gets barreled into, or maybe gets bumped into from behind. I think how Miram exaggerated it, you know, immensely exaggerated it, maybe that's not a penalty or shouldn't be awarded a penalty. But you really can't ignore what Kimura did. And even though you go on Twitter, and even though you hear, like, Taylor Twellman saying, for him, that's not a penalty, Mike Petke saying that's not a penalty, many of the players thinking it's probably not a penalty, and you know what? Others are saying it is, because it was a clumsy way by Kimura to go into Miram. And all I can say is this. I don't know. I've been looking at the replays over and over and over on MLSsoccer.com through MSG Network. And even though they're still the same replays because it's MSG Network, is it a penalty? Is it not a penalty? Because he mishits the ball. So therefore, mishitting the ball and then getting bumped into, and it was a bump, but he still got bumped in. You know, he still went down. Is it a penalty? Is it or isn't it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's so close. It's like a fine-tooth comb. I mean, I'm honest with you guys. You know that. I would be the first to say that's a penalty. I'd be the first to say that's not a penalty. I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. But Jeff Gamble thought it was. But then here's the clip from Kimura, who said to him he didn't have a good look at it. And here's that audio right now.
Give him a chance like that, you know? We got a couple things was wrong. Definitely. They chipped the ball, and now defense line was, like, ready to defend, you know? And then Marcus has to make a play, and then obviously Olave has to make a play, and I have to make a play, and then, you know, I went over, or it's too late. And then obviously I thought he's going to take a shot one time, you know? That's what I thought. And I was just... I'm not going to get there because the ball is in front of him, you know, and all of a sudden he miskicked it, you know, and then after that, I have no idea, but I saw the ball was going to Reese, and then they called the PK, and I had no idea, and obviously the other guys, they watched it, there's no chance that was a PK. I even talked to the referee after the game, and he said, hey, Goski was a tough one to call, I couldn't really have a good, you know, good sight, but he said, you know, you kind of tripped him. You know, he had a bad touch, but he could score if you didn't touch him, you know? So, I mean, I guess it's, you know, that happens, you know.
It came as a surprise to you, though.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And at that time, you know, we were pushing for the one more goal, you know, because it was a home game. We had to win. And then, obviously, we played second half way better. We possessed the ball better. We created all the chances, but obviously we have to finish those, you know. In order, if we don't finish that, you know, we have to pay, you know, later on. So, but at least we came back strong, you know, at home. We didn't lose. That's huge. But obviously we can work on some stuff that we didn't do well today. Yeah.
So, the referee tells Kosuke Kimura that he still had an opportunity to score a goal after he flubbed the ball on that shot. Really? 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 You're telling me, Mr. Referee, if that was me bumping the guy down from behind, that he still had a goal-scoring opportunity, even though he flubbed the ball, and it looked like he didn't make a move towards the ball. I have a hard time believing the referee right now. Even though he wrote that it was a definitive call, and then he goes to Kosuke Kimura, and Kimura says to the media, He told him it was a tough one. He didn't have a good sight on it. So, you know, which is it? Is it a penalty or is it not a penalty? I have no clue. I have no idea. But the referee says it was. Yet, once again, Kimura said something different than what the ref said to him. So now here's the question. Here is the question right now. Is that a penalty? I didn't see him going after the ball after he mishit it. I don't think he had an opportunity to get a second shot off. Because why? Because it wasn't hardly hit. And the ball was already away from him. So let's say, I think I can change my mind on this. That's not a penalty. But he got it anyway. Higuain converted it. And that's the end of that. Let's see what happens. MLS, so far I have not seen MLS throwing a fine at Petke. But like he said before, his checkbook's ready to open, and he's ready to give whatever money the league wants. So we'll see what happens. Let's go now to Jaime Olave through a translator on his big-time goal.
More than rescuing a point feels like we lost 2 points. We're at home, and we should always play to win here at home. It's a shame the way we played. We should have come out looking for the win. However, it was a good effort at the end, and we move on from this game.
¿Qué piensas sobre el penal que le cobraron al equipo?
Para mí no es penalti. Para mí el jugador de Columbus falla el balón, no le pega el balón y por inercia se va al suelo. Koski viene atrás, pero ya el jugador no tenía nada que hacer después de que falla el balón. Y personalmente no es penalti.
In my opinion, it wasn't a penalty kick. The player miskicks the ball. He falls to the ground after he miskicks the ball. There's a player chasing him down. Of course, he's going to fall down. In my opinion, it wasn't a PK call, and it shouldn't have been called that way.
Final del partido, cuando anotas el gol, ¿te vas por iniciativa propia al frente o viene la indicación desde la banca de Miles Petty de que vayas al frente a buscar el gol?
No, el técnico me manda. Ya faltaban 5-4 minutos para que se acabara el partido y me dice que vaya adelante para tratar de buscar, para sumar gente al ataque y tratar de usar el empate.
Mike sent me up top with five minutes left in the game. I was just trying to get a good ball in and try to put it in place.
Have you scored a lot when you play for RSL? Because this is your fourth of the season. It seems you have a very good knack of scoring goals.
No. Para Real, usualmente marcaba 1 o 2 goles por año. Ahorita ya llevo 4 en este. La verdad que muy contento por marcar tan frecuente.
When I was in RSL, I didn't get to score this much. Usually I would score 1 or 2 during the season. This is already my fourth, and we're not even a quarter of the way through. So it's exciting for me to be able to score this much.
Cuando el balón viene arriba, viene bastante alto, pienso en bajársela a Fabián, pero ya cuando el jugador está tan cerca, cambio de opinión y decido bajarla con la derecha y pegarle con la izquierda. Y afortunadamente se metió. Donde no la meta estarían matándome, o sea, estar a los compañeros porque Fabián estaba ahí al frente.
When I saw the ball up high, I wanted to place it down and play it to Fabián, but when the defender closed in on me, I just brought it in with my right foot and was able to put in a good shot with my left foot. Thankfully, I was able to put it in, because if not, you guys would have been killing me and my teammates would have been killing me for it.
You asked him about, he had the header that was cleared off the line. I mean, did he think the game was over when they had gotten that ball off the line?
Cuando en el cabezazo que la pelota pareció que entró, que no entró, ¿mentalmente ustedes pensaron que el partido ya se había acabado?
No, porque así fue el partido pasado contra Galaxy. Estábamos empatados y a lo último llegó el gol. Para nosotros el partido se acaba cuando el juez pita el pitazo final. Hay 90 más, algunos minutos más para jugar y hay que tener fe hasta lo último.
Not at all. I mean, we played the full 90 minutes, and last week it was the same thing against the Galaxy. We were tied for pretty much the entire game, and the last minute we were able to get a good ball in. We played 90 minutes, and whenever the referee blows the whistle, that's when we stop playing.
¿Sintieron que cayeron un poco en el juego del Columbus, en el juego físico? Porque en el segundo tiempo, la verdad es que los Red Bulls no crearon muchas jugadas de gol. ¿Qué pasó? ¿Por qué no fueron capaces de crear jugadas de gol a pesar de tener la posesión del balón?
No, pienso que por ahí el equipo no encontraba espacio en la parte del medio. Ellos llegaron, pusieron el equipo de ellos atrás, tratando de ganar un balón en la mitad y contragolpear. Nosotros por el afán de llegar a marcar y no encontrar espacio en el medio, estamos muy apresurados tratando de encontrar a Fabián y a Henry en la parte de adelante a punta de pelotas.
We were just rushing it. We just couldn't find the spaces that were closing in down on us. We were rushing things. We wanted to get the ball up top to Fabián and Henry, and we were just doing a good job at it.
Jaime Olave discussing about what was going on in the game and how he scored, and it's amazing. He's got a great touch. Fourth goal already, the offensive defenseman doing wonders. And, of course, let's go to the captain of the match, Thierry Henry, captain of the Red Bulls, and his position of the situation.
Thierry, just your thoughts on the game.
Not good enough.
Mike was pretty upset with the PK that they got.
I don't want to talk about the referee.
As the captain, you're the guy that would have to have a discourse with them.
I fight for 3 years. I don't talk to them anymore. They're the boss. They're the decision.
Is this a game you look back on that just didn't play well enough?
No. Well, I mean, we had the chances to win the game. Like I said, I won't talk about the penalty. But you have to give feeling discouraged on all the players today, although we have chances to win the game, but, you know, I guess the chance didn't go all the way today.
You guys are still unbeaten in seven
yeah.
games.
I mean, we're still in a good run, but you have to say that today we didn't play perfectly well. Although, I think saying that, like I said to you, I thought we should have won the game. But you have to give Columbus credit. They came with a plan, and they did it well. But yeah, it wasn't good enough, especially the way we started. The goal we gave away was just like, I know it's a bank holiday weekend, but a gift like this, you know, it's you run after the game after, thankfully for us, we came back. And we managed to play well, I think, at the end of the first half, a bit before. But then after they had some chances also on a break, but overall it wasn't enough, because if it was, we would have won. But you have to give them credit too.
Here, the way they started, it looked like they wanted revenge from when you took 3 points away
from
their place.
I can't agree with you there. The goal they scored, it wasn't anything about them. So I won't agree with you on that one.
I don't want to parse the words too terribly, but when you wore the armband before you got here, you said for 3 years
you tried. No, nothing bad. Oh. Sometimes don't put words in my mouth. No, don't no, do not. Sometimes you go as a captain and go and speak to the ref.
Right.
That was the point. He blew the whistle, and he's not going to change his mind. So, you know, I didn't see the point of going to talk to him.
But that's what I'm asking. Are they less?
No, nothing. I'm not comparing anything with anybody.
Okay.
I just said there wasn't any point.
Did you feel in the second half that the Red Bulls got trapped in the game of Columbus?
I don't think so. We had opportunities. We were not trapped in anything. But they went away with a draw, so fair play to them.
What did you think of Olave's late strike to play the game?
I was surprised he got me on when he went. I think he got everybody. Not only the defenders from Columbus. I thought he was going to smash it with his right. I was more than surprised when he did that. But you know, he scored, and you don't actually have the time to realize what he did. I went to get the ball and went back to try to make sure we can play again. No, what a strike! I didn't know he could do that. But
maybe learn from
you. He said to me, I think he beat his record of goals he scored in a year since in the MLS, and I mean, still early in the season, so I'm happy for him.
What did you see on Cahill's ball?
Well, I didn't let the whole game. I don't know if you watched the game.
Yes,
all
I
did was ask him the ball behind, and Tim saw me. I think it should have been more than one against one with the keeper today. Tim gave me a good ball, and I think he tried a couple of times right before that. The ball didn't arrive, and I kept on going behind the defense, and the ball.
Thierry Henry, of course, and talking about how he felt of how the performance of the Red Bulls, and how just felt it wasn't good enough. And don't blame him at all for not being happy about the situation. And, of course, talking next it will be Luis Robles about the penalty kick call and other things.
Luis Robles, keeper of the New York Red Bulls. Your vantage point, obviously, the big talking point is the penalty call for Columbus. What did you think of it? What did you see?
Oh, I mean, at this moment, I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen it. Listening to the guys, it sounds like it was a tough call against us. Of course, I was just reacting to the ball. But then, of course, we have a little history together so far this season with a penalty, and I just had to make a gut decision with what was going to happen, and I felt like I had it. But at the very end, it curled away from me.
Because it seems like, obviously, you probably, when you were in Columbus, he probably went a little nonchalant, and of course, this time, he really buried it past you. Higuain?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what was going through his mind, but he's a good player, so he definitely was going to get his revenge.
Did you feel that the entire team was trying to get revenge because of the way you pulled out the 1-0 victory in Columbus earlier?
Well, I think Columbus had a different game plan as opposed to the first game. They did a great job of executing it. They put us under pressure. You could see they pressed high. And it definitely was a different team than the first team that we saw.
Open Cup is Wednesday. You're facing Reading United from the PDL team. I obviously don't know if you're going to be in the match, but if you are, can you give your, I guess, your thoughts, your history when you're in Germany playing in the German Cup games to your teammates?
Yeah, these Cup games are always important. I know it's easy to look past an opponent because they're not in the same league or division as you, but those are the ones that are really dangerous because they get up for the game. And Mike already spoke that very briefly before the game that we want to pay attention to this and we want to put our best foot forward. So we'll just, you know, right now it's only a couple minutes after the game, so we're still thinking about this result, but we'll regroup this week and focus on our next opponent.
And that's Luis Robles about the Columbus, the Open Cup, and, of course, the penalty situation that happened. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a 2-2 draw. New York Red Bulls unbeaten in 7. At this particular moment, taking a look at the standings in Major League Soccer in the Eastern Conference right now, they have a 2-point lead over the Montreal Impact. They've played 15 games already. And they'll be on a break. That is if they still are going to play in that Open Cup fourth round game. This Wednesday night, they'll be taking on Reading United AC in the third round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I believe tickets are still available for that one. There'll be 5 sections open in the lower bowl. Come on over, or you can probably watch it on a stream that they'll probably have on NewYorkRedBulls.com. And you got to say that it's going to be fun, enjoyable, entertaining. I will be there. Don't forget, there will be some matches on Tuesday in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Head on over to thecup.us for the information of where to watch it. Once again, here's your third round schedule. Ocean City Nor'easters taking on the Philadelphia Union. Should I say Philadelphia Union hosting Ocean City Nor'easters at PPL Park. These are the games for Tuesday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Richmond Kickers hosting DC United at 7 p.m. Eastern. Rochester Rhinos hosting New England Revolution at 7:35 p.m. Eastern. Charlotte Eagles hosting Chicago Fire at 7 o'clock Eastern. Orlando City hosting Colorado at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Fort Lauderdale Strikers hosting FC Dallas at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Charleston Battery hosting the San Jose Earthquakes at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Sporting Kansas City hosting the Des Moines Menace, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Real Salt Lake hosting the Atlanta Silverbacks, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain. And then the final Tuesday game will be the LA Blues hosting Chivas USA. That will be at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. So those are your 10 round 3 matchups on Tuesday, May 28th. Wednesday, May 29th, Carolina Railhawks hosting the Galaxy at 7:15 Eastern. Columbus Crew hosting Dayton Dutch Lions at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I already mentioned the Red Bulls match. They're hosting Reading United at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Sorry about that. For the Cough Dynamo, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, hosting FC Tucson. Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting Seattle Sounders at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and Portland Timbers hosting the Wilmington Hammerhead, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. So that's your third round schedule, ladies and gentlemen. It should be a lot of fun. Check USLsoccer.com for any streams, NASL.com for streams, and check your MLS team if they're going to provide any streams. So it's, you know, you got to love these games. It's going to be fantastic. And don't forget to join me this Thursday with Tavio Palazzolo of thecup.us as we review round 3 games on Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. We're going to have a busy, busy time here. Don't forget USA hosting Belgium in Cleveland at First Energy Center Stadium. That's the stadium for the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, Sunday, June the 2nd, USA hosting Germany at RFK Stadium. I understand 40,000 tickets have been sold. And that means that's the centennial
celebration of 100 years of U.S. soccer. Of course, they'll whip out the old Centennial Shield jerseys. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. We'll do we're going to do a review show on Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock Eastern, just to do a quick 30-minute review of that USA-Belgium match. And then on Sunday, USA versus Germany post-game match. And then we're going to have on Tuesday night, June 4th, Four Eastern's Fire Internet Soccer Show. Friday night, June 7th, USA at Jamaica World Cup qualifying pre-game and post-game shows. I'll be live at the Football Factory Friday night. Join me in my panel, and once I get my panel all situated, we'll definitely get going. And don't forget, of course, Tuesday the 11th, the 7th first, the USA will be at Jamaica. Tuesday the 11th, the USA will be home against Panama in Seattle, Washington. And then, of course, on Tuesday the 18th, the USA will be home against Honduras over at Rio Tinto Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget as well, fourth round of Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup will be on Wednesday, June the 12th. Friday, June the 14th will be a post-game show, depending on time is to be determined. Not sure if this will be an evening or an afternoon show. I'll have to wait and see. But obviously, a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. I can't wait to have these shows going on. And of course, don't forget blogtalkradio.com/4EastTeamsFire for all your news information, all your articles on what's going on here. Of course, soccernewsday.com, and it's a plethora of writers joining me to do some excellent coverage. And don't forget blogtalkradio.com/4EastTeamsFire. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at @DFoyerstein for Soccer Newsday. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll see what happens. Because right now, you're in a situation where the USA at the moment is in the top three. Mexico, the bottom two. And these are crucial, crucial games in June to see where and how can if the USA can keep on going forward and doing well, or can Mexico not rebound and keep on falling deeper and deeper into trouble. Many will say Mexico is going to find a way to dig out of the hole, but we have to look at the other situation. And join me as I bring over John Jagu on the Mexican side of things, and Michael Lewis from Big Apple Soccer and Newsday to talk about the U.S. side of things. Because the question might be asked. The questions could come fast and furious. Then the questions are simple. With this poor play from Mexico in the first three qualifiers, will it improve or will it get worse? It's no longer a 1-2-2 setup in the first half and second half of qualifying. It's now a 1-2-3-2-2. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen with World Cup qualifying. Is it wide open? We'll find out. But one thing is for sure. It's getting exciting. It's getting very, very exciting. And in the month of June, there's no place to be watching these games. If you have BN Sport as well as ESPN, it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a time where not only is it a Gold Cup year, but also the final round of qualifying in CONCACAF, the down the stretch. Will you be in the top three? Will you be in the playoff? Will you be disgraced and go home? That's the big question. And don't forget as well, Open Cup time, will you be the bear and eat your weaker opponents from the lower levels? Or will you be David and knock out Goliath? Because that is what's happening now. A combination of everything within American soccer, international soccer. It's just an absolutely wonderful thing to see what's going on. I know I can't wait for this to happen. I know that I cannot wait for these games to continue on. Don't forget, once again, tomorrow night, 10 of the 16 matches in round three. Red Bulls will be hosting Reading United AC Wednesday, May 29th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Head to Red Bull Arena. Watch it at home on the computer, on probably on Red Bull's website. If they're streaming, they'll give you some information. U.S. Open Cup Round 3 review on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And then we're going to do a little review of USA Belgium on Saturday afternoon. New York Red Bulls hosting Vancouver Whitecaps Saturday night. We'll see what happens afterwards. World Cup qualifying continues on. If the Red Bulls win their Round 3 matchup, they'll move on to Round 4, Wednesday, June 12th, on the road. If they defeat Reading United, they'll either travel to Rochester, New York, or to the Boston area and Harvard to take on the New England Revolution. It all depends on what's going on. World Cup qualifying, of course, at Jamaica, June the 7th. Home to Panama, June the 11th. And then on the 18th, home to Honduras. And then the quarterfinals on June 26th. Fun, fun, fun. Exciting stuff. I know I can't wait. And you can get all your information right here, blogtalkradio.com/4YearsTeamsFire. Get ready to have some fun, boys and girls. It's going to be fantastic. These are the moments you live for, not just with American soccer, your club team, but as well as your national team. This is the exciting times that you live for. We'll see what happens in July with the Gold Cup. But definitely, for sure, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tons of fun, I guarantee it. So, as we're about to wrap up the show here, let me just say that I'm no longer going to rant about what's happened in MLS for the 2015 season. I think I've made my point. It's clear that everyone knows how I feel about it. I think it's clear that the rest of the league, the fans of the league, know are clear about it. They're not happy about this. I've said my piece. It makes no sense. Because they're not going to listen to me. The league's not going to listen to what I have to say. They've already made the decision. It's already happened. And now it's time to just let it go and move on. Because no matter how much I protest, it will never, ever get overturned. Meaning, New York City FC is here to stay, whether it's real or fake. That's the truth. That's all I can do. I want to thank my guests, of course, Patrick Quinn, Warren Jones. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to tonight's show. Join me once again Thursday night. Open Cup Round 3 review with Tavio Palazzo, thecup.us. And once again, check my articles out on the Red Bulls at Soccer News Day. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening tonight. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. And as always, please, with an American flag and Uncle Sam's patriotic hat, enjoy your football. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everybody. Happy Memorial Day once again. Talk to you later. Take care for now.